Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. You know, we especially listen to the Bible and what Jesus taught. Why? Why do we stand up when I walk out to proclaim the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Why do we take Jesus seriously? You know, I can promise you I'll be here next week, and I go out there and on Walters Road and a car hits me, I become roadkill. So my promise is limited because there's something in front of me that can limit it. You know what that is? I'm going to die. Hate to tell you, so are you someday, okay? But what's different about Jesus? St. Paul tells us in our second reading, Jesus already died. God raised him from the dead. So whatever Jesus teaches, whatever Jesus says, is death proof, because now he has conquered death by God raising him from the dead. He lives. He lives. He's with us. He's here. And he's through his word. So that's why it's important to hear his word today. And you know something? I wish that weren't true. Because his word today is a tough one. You know? Who gets the woes? Huh? Who gets the blessings? Kind of confusing. I mean, how do you discern? You just think you have everything figured out, and then Jesus drops these things on us, but who's in, who's out, who's woes, who's blessed? It's hard. Like, for example, would you give a woe or blessing to this? A lady, first century, has a child. Parents, family won't take her in. Her husband left her. She's all by herself. She's starving. She sells her body to a rich person to get money so she could feed her kids. Now, did she get a woe or a blessing? Let's take it modern day. A guy who works hard. He has a house. He has a family. He provides for his kids' education. He takes them to their soccer games and everything. And was he get a woe or a blessing? How about you? You think Jesus would say to you, woe or blessing? Kind of confusing. I mean, it's in fact, you know, some of the woes are things I want. Don't you want them? Huh? And some of the blessings, who wants those? Do you want to be hungry? Have you really been hungry, like some people in the world, many people in the world? Or weeping? It's exhausting. Or hated, or excluded, or reviled, or defamed? Yeah, what does Jesus say? To them, they get the blessings. And then he says, what I desire, like to be rich, like to have a Rolex and a Mercedes, like to have that, you know? Like to be full. I don't have a hungry tummy. I like to laugh. It's fun to laugh. That's why I don't watch the news. Having a great reputation, people think well of me. And what does Jesus say to me? Woe to you. It's kind of confusing. You're kind of confused. And not only, we'd be a little confused, but the people in Jesus' day that heard Jesus would be confused, because to the Jews, if you were rich, if you were wise, if your tummy was full, if you're laughing, you're blessed by God. But if you're hungry or despised or unhealthy, then of course you were cursed by God. You had the woes. So it's confusing. Who's the sinner? Who's not? Who's in? Who's out? It upsets us. It seems like God today is taking what we think right and wrong is, up and down is, and he's switching everything around. Jesus is changing things. And we don't know what the heck's going on. It's confusing. You confused? Good. Because that's where Jesus wants you. He wants you to step back from what you think. He wants you to step back from your philosophies and your politics and your theologies and your spiritualities and your moralities and your notions of what's right and wrong and put them on hold. Put them on hold right now. Did you ever see the Star Wars movies? One of my favorites, the second one, The Empire Strikes Back. Remember, there's a scene where Yoda, the Master Jedi, is teaching Luke Skywalker how to be a Jedi. And what does he tell him? You must unlearn what you have learned. I think Jesus is kind of saying that to us today. You know, and so how do we learn? Well, Jesus said, whenever you approach the word or the way of God, you can't do it. But I give you a gift so you can do it. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Never read scripture without praying that the Holy Spirit enlightens you and leads you. I mean, I never have the audacity to get in this pulpit. I say, Lord Jesus, let your Holy Spirit work through me. If anything good you get today and take home, that's the Holy Spirit. If anything you say, oh, that is really boring. That's me. That's Fred. It's on me. But the Holy Spirit gives the good stuff. The Holy Spirit converts and changes. So what's the Holy Spirit helping us see today? Well, it's helping us see that the ones who are poor and hungry, they tend to be open for help. They tend to be open for a higher power. They tend to be open to God. And just think of it. Who was Jesus' disciples? Fishermen, tax collectors. And they left everything to follow Jesus. So in that sense, they were poor too. So they're open to a gift from God. They're open to God. Well, Martin Luther, a few days before he died, he wrote on a piece of paper, "We are beggars. We need God. We need a higher power." As Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." And the people who receive the woes, you know, the ones that are healthy and full and happy and rich, the temptation is to think like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I'm in control. I've done it. I've worked hard. I did it all myself. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. They become arrogant. They want tax cuts so they can make more money and gate their communities. And as the proverb said, the ones that are cursed are wise in their own eyes. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus today is not praising poor people. It's not great to be poor. And there are some poor people who are really stinkers, okay? And Jesus is not cursing rich people. There are some wonderful rich people too. So that's not the point. But what he is talking about is situations that open us or close us to the rule of God in our minds, in our hearts, the way we vote, the way we act, the way we treat other people. For you see, the realm, the kinship, the kingdom, the rule of God that Jesus is preaching makes a radical difference from the way of the world. We pray, don't we? We'll pray today. We'll sing today. Whoopsie-doo. We'll sing today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know what you're singing and praying? It's radical. Those who have power and money and wealth, they say, I can't control these people. I could try to control the government and change the government, but I'm not the ultimate power. God wants to make a new heaven and a new earth. Right now. The old order between rich and poor, the haves and have-nots, who's in or who's out is about to change. Who's on top, who's on the bottom, that's about to change. Jesus, notice, he came down from the mountain. He came to a level place. You'll find that a lot in Luke's gospel. All are welcome. All are welcome. No one is excluded. Everybody, even Gentiles, all the people that the society said were second class, are just as important as anybody else. The new order, where God's things, coming of God's rule, will replace the old ways. The way of God will be in control. The way of his rule, where we trust God above everything else. His rule, where our main desire is to walk in the way of Jesus, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all our soul, and all of our strength. Everything. His rule, where people are serious about loving your neighbor as yourself. Everyone. Who's your neighbor? Jesus tells us, the one in need. His rule, where those who are rich share with the poor, tithe for the poor. And his rule, where the full share with those who are hungry. You can enjoy a good meal, but never forget those who don't have a good meal and help them. His rule, where those who have joy and laughter, that's great. But then they take energy to be with those who mourn, who weep, who need a phone call, who need a loving ear, who need a hug to share with them. His rule, where our first instinct when we see another person is not to see them as a stranger or to see them as a threat or to see them as competition, but to see them as one like us, made in the image and likeness of God. His rule, where our Father is their Father too, and nobody is excluded because God loves all people. His reign goes on the good people and the bad people. He does not, his grace is always there. His rule, where the news of those who think that they are winners and others are losers, are they in for a surprise when Christ returns again? It's going to be a topsy-turvy world for them. And what is heaven, they'll think is hell. But the ones who know we need God, they'll praise God. But the hereafter is also where God wants us, in the here and now. This is not just when we die. This is now, to grow in that grace, to grow in that love. So Jesus' blessings and woes, they're not so confusing after all. They're what Jesus has always taught, always been about, and always is about. Where everyone who is blessed then is so happy they share that blessing. Like the Valentine card I read you a little bit ago. You know, Martin Luther said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. Your neighbor does. Proverbs tells us, whoever oppresses the poor man insults God. But who is generous to the needy honors God. Amen. Amen. So be it. God gifts us with his blessings to celebrate the gifts that we are given so we can share those with whoever is in need. To see all people as our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be specially for those in need, and to see God in the faces of everyone we meet. In this way, there are no woes. All is blessing. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.